Be seated. Now, I read to you a couple verses just a moment ago that may, to the, you know, initial looking or reading of them, may seem like they don't really have anything in common. But actually, they have a whole lot in common. And what they have in common is this, is that God is speaking to us about our hearts. Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers, watch what he says, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that word spirit throughout the New Testament can be interchanged with the word heart. And what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about true worshipers who are going to come and worship the Father. I like how he goes on and he says, you know what? The Father is seeking such to worship him. What kind of people is God looking for? What kind of people is God wanting to worship him? People who will worship him from their hearts, in spirit and in truth. And then we find in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus makes this statement, and I think it's so cool. He says this, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And likewise, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And so what is God doing? He's beginning to address our hearts. Today I want to preach a message and kick off a series called From the Inside Out. The Inside Out. Or actually it's just Inside Out, technically. Inside Out. And I want to, tonight, and I want to throughout the coming weeks, to really begin to draw our attention to our hearts. And on purpose, very deliberately, bring us to a place where we are looking at our hearts, at the contents of our hearts, at the condition of our hearts, and where our hearts are at with God and with our lives. You know, actually, every time you come to a church service, every time the word of God goes forth, every time a singer gets up and sings and the music starts to play, every time there's a prayer, in fact, every time we receive an offering, do you realize today that it's all about the heart? Church, relationship with God and doing life was never, God never intended for us to do it without heart. Yet what I find in life and what I've found in my own life, and I'll be the first to admit it, and what I see oftentimes in Christians' lives is, you know what, we somehow get away from the heart. And we get into religious rituals and ceremonies. And we get into, you know, the routine. And we just do what we do because that's what we do, and we miss out on the heart. And listen, my friends, today, without heart, you and I are going to find it. In fact, I wrote down, really hard. Actually, the truth of the matter is you and I are going to find it impossible to have a relationship with God and to do life on the level that he intended without heart. A relationship with God, it's a heart thing. How do you have a relationship with God without heart? How do you worship without your heart? Do we think today that God is interested in just noise or good singing or cool music? Oh man, check out that guitar solo. That was just bad. Now I'm going to show up in this place and watch how I'm going to show up. No, no, no. Worship is not worth anything if it's not with the heart. Life is not worth doing without the heart. Think of this, I know that everybody in here at some point in time in their life has gone to see a doctor. All right. Most of the time we see general practitioners. Maybe you've had the blessing of, like me, of having to go to the urgent care or go to the emergency. Pastor Joe, are you sure that's a blessing? No, I'm not sure. I'm just trying to make sure I keep your attention tonight. But I've had to go to urgent care. I've also had to go to emergency for a couple things. In fact, I've had more stitches in my head than you could probably ever imagine. In fact, I got a nice little scar right here somewhere on my chin. Y'all see that? Oh yes, I see. In fact, I've a couple of my eyes, on my ear, I've had stitches. I got a nice few. I got like five on the back of my head. If I were to shave my head, they'd definitely be popping out. But I didn't come to talk about the stitches or anything like that. What I did come to talk about is, you know, when I show up to these doctor's offices, my hope, my desire, is that when the doctor walks into the room, that he doesn't just see me as another patient. Right? He doesn't just see me as another case. I would hate the idea that I would go to the doctor's office and really the doctor is in it because he's in it for the money. I remember one time I was little, my mom was like, you want to be a doctor, you're going to be blessed. but how many realize that's not really the reason you should get into the profession? Right? I mean, my hope is that, you know what, the doctor, again, he's not looking at his watch waiting for lunchtime or waiting until he gets off, waiting to get out of there. My hope is that he has enough heart to see me as an individual and to value my life enough to give me proper care. Why? Because we understand that without heart, mistakes will be made. And without heart, things are going to be overlooked. And what's going to happen? That's just going to turn out for my detriment, right? Are you seeing how important that heart is? And yet so oftentimes in life, and especially in our Christian walks, we get away from the heart and we just kind of do life. Listen, you cannot do life and you cannot do a relationship with God without heart. Unless today you are able to locate your heart and you are able to address your life from the level of your heart and you are able to engage God from your heart, you're not going to end up where God wants you to end up. This is a heart thing, and we need to learn how to locate our hearts, and we need to learn how to address our hearts and do life the way that God intended from the inside out. See, without heart, what do we have? We have a dead religion. Without heart, what do we have? We have a bunch of people who get together who are weak and lethargic. Without heart, what do we have? We don't have what God intended for us to have, and so we have to locate our hearts. You know, without heart, you and I will lose God's blessing and lose God's anointing. I find a story in the Bible, and you're probably familiar with it, but there's a man by the name of Saul, and Saul was called and anointed by God. He was called and anointed by God to be the first king of Israel. And God called him in, and man, he just looked great. I mean, he just looked like a king. He was tall, he was good looking, and it's just kind of like he commanded respect right off the bat. And so this man is anointed king, called by God to be king. And just in the early years of his rule, he decides he's not going to do things God's way anymore. He's going to do things his own way. And so he turns into this really rebellious king who sets aside God's ways and God's instruction and God's desire to do his own way. And so God says, you know what? If you're not going to do things my way, if you think that your way is better, here's the reality. I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and I'm going to give it to another. And so God, through the prophet Samuel, makes this declaration to him. And the Bible says that Samuel kind of mourned this whole happening, and he really liked King Saul and all this kind of stuff. And God's like, how long are you going to mourn for King Saul? He says, I want you to go to Jesse's house, because Jesse has a son, and there I've picked out a king that I've called and that I'm going to anoint to be the new king of Israel. And so Samuel goes over to Jesse's house, and what happens? Well, Jesse brings out all of his boys, right? And he brings out the oldest one first. The Bible talks about, you know, their stature was really cool. They were really good looking. I mean, they had it going on. And in fact, Samuel was kind of like, in fact, from the first one all the way to the last one, each time a new son came up, he's like, certainly this one has to be the king, the next king. And God says, no, you got something wrong, Samuel, because I don't look at the outward appearance. God does not look at the outward appearance. I look upon the heart. And I've chosen for myself a person, a man who is after my own heart. And his name was King David. And you know what? Without dispute, without any argument, all Bible scholars would agree, King David was the greatest king that Israel ever had. Why? Because of his heart. A man after God's own heart. You see, his rule, his kingship was done from the inside out. He was successful, he was blessed, and he was a blessing to other people. It was because of the heart. Now listen, can I say this? Because King David had a lot of problems. He definitely had some serious issues. We find King David at a time he was supposed to be out to war with his army. The Bible says he was walking his rooftop, his palace there, and he looked over onto some rooftops and he saw a woman bathing. Trouble. And he was like, man, she's fine. I want that woman. So, you know, the rest of the story, David commits adultery, and then guess what? And as if it wasn't enough to commit adultery, David, in order to cover it up, murders her husband. God has to go to David by the prophet Nathan, and he says, Nathan, or God through Nathan, basically calls David out and says, hey man, what are you doing? You know what's so cool is you can read, David says, you know what, God, I'm wrong. I got it really wrong. But you know what's so cool is once he says to God, God, I got it wrong, he prays this prayer of repentance in Psalms chapter 53, verse number 10. You don't have to turn there. And he says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God created me a clean heart. God, I understand that there's some things wrong on the inside. And in order for me to get it right on the outside, I need you to come along on the inside and make a change. Make a change. David understood this principle from the inside out, from the heart outward. You know, did you know that the Bible talks about, you know, your faith? And right now, just you just bear with me as I give you some examples where the Bible talks about the heart and how we're supposed to live from the inside out. Did you know that your faith in Jesus Christ is really a heart thing? You know, I was reminded of a verse in Romans chapter 10 recently by, I believe it's by the Holy Spirit, and God was trying to get something across to me. And I'm familiar with Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter 10 talks about, you know, the process of salvation, how somebody gets saved. And it talks about how, you know, the gospel is preached and there are people that hear. And when they hear, all of a sudden they come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so they make this confession with their mouth and they say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden the Bible says that they're saved. I'm real familiar with it. We talked a lot about it in Bible college. It's been one of those chapters I've gone back to and looked at and read over and has edified me and encouraged me. But here in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we get a little bit more detail than just, hey, somebody goes and preaches and people hear and they believe and then they call upon the name of the Lord. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, if they got it up on the screen for me, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he says, you will be saved. Hey, somebody's made a confession because as the result of something that was on the inside, and they're saved. Now watch what verse number 10 says, because verse number 10 comes along and really lays it out for us exactly how it happens. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. For with the heart one believes. Faith is a thing of the heart. A relationship with God is a thing of the heart. My walk with God, my life should be a thing of the heart. For with the heart one believes. And then it says, and with the mouth then, confession is made unto righteousness. What is happening? Something's beginning on the inside. God is beginning on the inside of an individual and is now making its way outside. And what's the result? People are saved from the inside out. From the inside out. That's how God intended life to be. Without heart, we will live lives of reaction as opposed to lives of response. And my friends, there is a difference. Lives of reaction versus lives of response. It's really kind of quiet in here. I hope I'm talking to somebody tonight. I hope somebody's beginning to locate their heart. But I hope somebody's in here beginning to say, you know what, I see some different things in my life that I need to address on the inside so I can get it right on the outside. Without heart, we will live lives of reaction as opposed to lives of response. Recently, this last Wednesday, I was given the opportunity to either react or respond. My wife called me up and she was a little bit frustrated. She's like, I just want you to know that a family member is a little bit frustrated with what they consider to be you're doing. You've actually, it was something I didn't do that frustrated them. And I just want you to know that they're frustrated and they said they're going to tell you something about it. And you know what I said? Good. Let them. I want them to tell me something about it. Was that not my response? I'm a show who's the man here. That's a reaction. That's a reaction. You know, look, if you've ever been up in the middle of the night and you've gone downstairs because, or if you have stairs or you've gone to the refrigerator, whatever it is, and I have stairs, so that's why I said that, and you're thirsty for a drink of water or you're going to the restroom and you stub your toe, what happens? You react. You grab your foot, your face cringes, you might even shout out loud, ah! Some of y'all start punching walls and you start getting crazy and mad and stuff. You need to chill out. That's a reaction. It's almost like you don't even have to think about what you're doing. You just react. But in my case, what happened is I reacted over the phone with my wife. I hung up the phone and then I had a good 20 minutes before I saw this person. And it was enough time for me to allow my heart to dictate to me what my response should be to this individual. And rather than respond to them in a combative way, in a way that's defensive, in a way that's, you know, I'm going to prove I'm right, I'm going to prove that you're wrong, and who do you think you are coming up to me like that? I understood my response needs to be not a reaction, but my response needs to be a response of understanding. My response needs to be a response of respect. My response needs to be a response of explanation, not a reaction. Do y'all see the difference? I hope that you do. Because you know what? There's a whole lot going on in this country right now. And as Christians, you can either react or you can respond. We're so quick to judge, so quick to take sides, aren't we? God has not called us to take sides. And taking sides is only going to perpetuate the problem. It's not going to fix it. What is going to fix it is responding the way God would have us to respond. You don't have to clap. I really don't care. Maybe now I'm reacting. I'm not trying to oversimplify what's going on. We're living in a dark time. You know what? Our generation needs to wake up and smell the roses. The older generation, my father's generation, my grandfather's generation, they knew something about, you know, I just was hearing on the news after France that there are people now declaring that we are officially now in World War III. Are you ready? I'm 33 years old. I don't really know war. Yeah, we went over to Iraq. We went over to Afghanistan. We went over there, and I don't know if you and I really know war. I'm 33. I don't think there's ever been a draft. There's never been a draft during my life. Jesus talks about the end times. Jesus talks about how dark it's going to get. In fact, Jesus says, you know, if those days weren't shortened, that even the elect would be lost. I don't know about you, but that kind of scares me a little bit. So are you ready? Are you ready to respond? Are you ready to do this from your heart? This needs to be a heart thing for you and I, all right? What's the point of me saying all of this, all right? Life is done from the inside out. It starts with the heart. When our hearts are nourished, when our hearts are renewed, when our hearts are strengthened, we've located our heart, when we're doing the right thing with the heart, when our hearts are set ablaze by the Holy Spirit, that's when we'll be living. And that's when we'll be having a relationship with God and living out what he's called us to live out. So I've just got a couple of points for you tonight, just two, all right? Things that you need to know in order to have a healthy heart, because doing life is going to require you to do it from the inside out. Number one is that God has given you a new heart. You need to understand today that God has given you a brand new heart. When you got saved, God did heart surgery on you, and he gave you a brand new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 26, it's a really cool verse because God is prophesying through Ezekiel of something that was to come. This is an Old Testament verse, and he's talking now about what's going to take place in the New Testament. And God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. He says, I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What is God describing? God is describing right here a heart surgery, a spiritual heart surgery, where he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a brand new heart, a heart of flesh. What is God saying? What does stone represent? Stone here represents cold. Stone here represents dead. Stone here represents insensitive to the things and the ways of God. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to give you a new heart. And this heart's going to be a heart of flesh. What does flesh represent? Flesh represents warmth. Flesh represents life. Flesh represents sensitivity to the things of God and the ways of God. I'm going to do a heart surgery on you. I'm going to take out this heart that you have, and I'm going to give you a brand new one. See, look, in the Old Testament, people could be forgiven. But being forgiven doesn't fully deal with the sin issue. It has no way to address the conscience. It has no way to address the sin nature. Only by giving you a brand new heart is God able to deal with what's on the inside so you can get it right on the outside. In fact, you know, look at a pig, right? Anybody out there like bacon? All right, just making sure you all didn't go home. What do pigs like? Pigs like the mud, right? They like slop. You can pull them out the mud. You can pull them out the pen. You can give them a bath. In fact, you can even put a nice big bow around their neck. What are they going to do? Go back to the mud. But if you can give the pig heart surgery, and you can take out the pig's heart, and you can give it, let me see, a lamb's heart. Come on, somebody. You put that lamb's heart in that pig's going to stay away from the mud. Why? Because sheep don't like to get dirty. Oh, sheep might fall into the mud here and there. Y'all making the correlation here. Might fall into mud here or there, but they don't like it. They try to clean themselves off. And they see, you say, Pastor Joe, you know what? But that's impossible. You can't give a pig heart surgery and put a lamb's heart in a pig's body. It just doesn't work. My friend, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And what God can do, no other power can do. And what he did when you gave your heart and your life to Jesus was he took out the heart of stone and he gave you a brand new heart, a brand new way of doing life. So you could do life now from the inside out. See, people in the Old Testament, they would look at God's law and they would say, oh my gosh, I can't fulfill that. I cannot do that. God forgive me. And they walk away with the same cold, dead heart. But now we, where the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do the job, we have the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says that the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Nothing but what can wash away my sin? Come on, somebody. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think it should be a little bit louder up in this place today because I was headed for hell and I was lost and dead in my sin and I was headed for destruction, except that the blood of Jesus came along and paid the price for me and cleansed me and set me free and got me on my way with God. We've been given a new heart. And this is why sometimes, too, I get so frustrated with people who are always talking about how, oh, I'm just an old sinner. You're not an old sinner anymore. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners. Wrong. You were an old sinner. Now the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the issue is as long as you call yourself an old sinner, you could have a brand new heart and you're still identifying with the old life. You still see yourself through that prism, through that glass. And so what ends up happening, we put on the old man, the Bible says, and we continue to walk in our sinful ways. But all of a sudden we realize, hey, that's not who I am anymore. I've been given a new heart. Now all of a sudden I can look at Jesus and I can identify with him. I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That other person, that other dude, those other things I used to do, I don't even know that anymore. We have a new heart. You've been given a new heart. Everything's been set up now for you to live this life that God has called you to from the inside out. Final point today is this. Things you need to know in order to have a healthy heart is you need to know that you're responsible for your heart's condition. You and I are responsible for the condition of our heart. Just because God gave you a brand new heart does not mean that now everything's just automatic and you're just going to walk in God's ways and you're just going to be perfect. No more is it that, you know, just because you get a new car, you're going to, you know, it's just going to drive itself. It doesn't work that way. You got to get in the car. You got to drive it. You got to fill it up with gas when it runs out, right? Come on, somebody. Every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, you need to get an oil change. You're going to need to get a tune-up. You're going to need to get some new tires. Oh, the car might drive a whole lot better than your old one. And the car might have a whole lot more potential than your old one. Hopefully when you get a new car, it's better than the old one, right? Okay? Well, it's the same with our hearts. Just because God's given us a new heart doesn't mean that everything's going to be automatic. We have a responsibility to address the heart, to locate the heart, to, how about this, attend to the heart. you know what sometimes, gets in the way of us attending to our hearts? It's just the busyness of the schedules that we have. And we don't have any time for God. I don't have any time to read our Bible, any time to pray, any time to worship. We're just so busy. And what ends up happening, we neglect our hearts. We have to attend to our hearts. We got to feed our hearts the word. Come on, somebody. Anybody here open up the Bible and done some feasting? Because you need to learn how if you haven't. Just read it. Pastor Joe, I don't understand what it says. Bullcorn. That's what Pastor Luke says. Yes, you do. You mean to tell me you could read a whole chapter and you have no idea what it said? Come on, yes, you do. And you know what? As you approach it in faith, God will speak to you and you'll get more revelation as time progresses. You're not going to know everything all at one time. All right? You're going to have to attend to your heart. What does that mean? It means feed it the word. How about this? Wash it. You know, once again, there's a whole lot of things going on in the world, a whole lot of things coming at us. You know, I can't watch the news anymore without feeling like hopeless and like wanting to kill myself or something. Like, the world is just going down the drain. You might as well just end it now. I'm being a little bit dramatic here. I'm reacting, okay? Reacting, not responding, okay? But listen, I have to turn it off. I have to turn it off, but then not just turn it off. I got to go wash myself. I got to go take a spiritual bath and remember, hey, God has a plan for my life, and it's a plan of good and not of evil, to give me a future and to give me a hope. You know, you can't go to the movies anymore. It's just like you can't go anywhere anymore with just junk coming at you. You're going to have to learn how to wash your heart. How do you wash your heart? You wash it with prayer. You wash it with praying in the Holy Ghost. Hey, just for everybody's notice, we believe in the gift for every person to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. We're a radical church up in this place, and we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And you got to pray in tongues. And the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're speaking unto God. A perfect prayer. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought to, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes along and he supplements for you. And he prays through you with groanings and utterances which cannot be uttered. Prayer. You gotta wash your heart with praise and worship. I was just recently listening to T.D. Jakes, and he was like, come on, somebody, I got a word for you. You're going to flow again. Your heart is going to flow again. You've been stopped up for quite some time. You've been stopped up with some offenses, and you've been stopped up with some stuff, and you've been stopped up with some hurt, but I got good news. You're going to flow again, and you're going to worship God once again. And your worship is going to wash your heart. Worship washes the heart. Praise and worship. How about this? Wash it with obedience. Wash your heart with obedience. Hello? What's my problem, Pastor Joe? You just don't do what God tells you to do. And if you'll just start to do what God tells you to do, you're going to find a washing and you're going to find a freedom you didn't have before. Hello? Obey God. Do what God says. How about this? Guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. For out of it spring the issues of life. Once again, from the inside out. Guard it. Does anybody here know how to guard their heart? Do you really? There are some shows you ought not to watch. There is some music you ought not to listen to. There are some relationships you ought not to waste your time with. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good right now to the young adults, because I'm trying to teach some young adults how to guard their heart. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8 says, he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, maybe I shouldn't do this, but because I don't have enough time to explain it. But, you know, this word Spirit here is capitalized. I really don't think it should be capitalized. I think that the Bible's talking here about sowing to your heart. If you want to talk about it later, we can talk about it later. All right? But let me say this. If you think it should be capitalized, it's talking about the Holy Spirit then, isn't it? And where does the Holy Spirit live? Where? In your heart. So there you go. So you and I can either spend time sowing to our flesh, and we will of the flesh reap corruption, or we can spend time sowing into the things of God. And by doing so, we will be sowing to our hearts. And what does it say? We're going to reap everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, might say, well, everlasting life, but that doesn't happen until I die. Actually, everlasting life throughout the Bible speaks of life that is today that will last forever. Hey, if you've given God all of your heart and all of your life, you have eternal life abiding in you presently. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you get saved. Finally, to say, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 35, we already read it. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Hey, God, guys, this is a thing from the inside out. This is a thing that we need to address our hearts, and we need to look at the condition and the contents of our hearts so that we can have a relationship with God and we can do life the way that God intended. If you got something good from God's word, come on, give him a great big praise in this house.